Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you an opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, April 16th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Bada bing, bada boom. Here we go into the gold room. Gold down, up 30 cents. Woohoo! 1303. You know, didn't do a lot. We were at 1308 earlier in the day. She broke 13 for a little bit, but 1303.70. Not bad when you have the stocks up 130 points. But the silver is up 9 cents today at 1975. Platinum was down a buck at 1443, and palladium was also up 9 at 804. The USDX today, you know, hey, it's not, again, just up and down, very, very little trading, 0.05 up, 79.84. Crude oil, same thing, 103.84. It's like everything is at a standstill, except, of course, the paper markets. And, of course, they're all rallying on China and Yellen's comments. She did her first little speech today as the Federal Reserve, and some we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. And China's economy is, one minute it's bad, and the next minute it's better. And, of course, that makes it all good. But a lot of interesting things are going on with China. But you have the Dow up 162 points, up 1% at 16,424. The Nasdaq was up 1.3% at up 52 at 4086. The S&P was up also over a little over 1%, up 19 at 1862, and the 10-year yield was also up slightly at 2.64%. But Yellen spoke at the New York Economic Club. And she says interest rates will likely stay at current levels for a considerable time after asset purchase program ends. So what it tells me is, you know, after the asset purchase program ends, I mean, in order to keep the rates low, they're going to have to continue to do things to keep rates low. So it'll just be another program that's reintroduced. And, of course, that was what Wall Street wanted to hear. While she was going into her speech, the Dow was up over 100 points, and you know, it just kept going until she quit talking. And you know, she makes these statements every couple of weeks, and especially right after you have a pretty violent swing in the market. So again, she's coming out to give a little bit of soothing to the markets to keep them at this level. And so
as long as she's talking, the markets continue to go up. We need to give that woman more coffee where she can just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and the markets will just go up and up and up and up and up.
Well, the market tanked the other day when she came out in February or in March, I believe it was, after she had said that the stimulus program would most likely be completed by fall and that you could see some sort of a rate hike almost as early as 2015. The markets didn't like that. It dropped. So we'll see how long it lasts. You know, that's what they do. Every time the markets go down, they'll parade someone across the media world to soothe the nerves of everyone and just to keep things flowing.
She's kind of the economy whisperer, then. Is that what's happening?
I guess you could call
it. When you have you got an economy that is a little unruly and it hasn't been properly domesticated, you call in Janet Yellen and she will whisper at it and soothe it and calm it and make it do its job. The whole thing's absurd.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it continues, but the big question is how long can it continue? How long can this kind of fraud farce, how long can it continue? And that's the big question. It should have died 10 years ago, you know, or more maybe, but here it is. And the lies continue to work and the liars continue to prosper. How much longer? There's the question.
You know, they talk about how great Europe is doing. They're coming along just better. But, you know, here the French come out. France comes out. Their new prime minister said they're going to cut 21 billion euros, which is about 29 billion U.S. dollars, from state pensions, health care, and the social safety net as a part of a 50 billion euro effort to rein in their debt and deficit.
Yeah.
They have to do something. And this government, our country, is no different.
Oh, we're not as bad as France. France has set up a system where the average Frenchman is probably only working about 4 hours a day. They have some dumb idea that that'll work out. All right? These people are stupid. You understand? These are stupid to the point of being self-destructive. They might as well put a gun in their mouth and pull the trigger. France is going to collapse. You can bet on it. 4 hours a day? What are they thinking of? You can live on that, for God's sake. Yeah, you can do it. You can survive on it. It's a step above welfare, I suppose. You know, you can get in there... But you can't keep a strong economy running with a workforce that shows up for 20 hours a week. Not even that. Yeah, 20 hours a week. It's not going to happen.
Their government spending, it is among the highest in the world. It's running about 57% of the country's gross domestic product.
Yeah, and where are we? 40%?
Yeah. Oh. He says that they're going to try to maintain the benefits for those with the lowest incomes.
Mm-hmm. They're going to try. They're going to try.
I mean, they have to do this if they want any help or any money from the European Union or from the IMF, you know, if they're going to get any more bailouts like everyone else does.
I wouldn't give them a nickel.
I know.
If they can run a country where people have to work for 4 hours a day to hold a full-time job, good. I suggest you work them an extra 15 minutes a week. Maybe that'll solve your problem. How about 15 minutes a day? Good God, they want help from someone else? I wouldn't give them a nickel.
Well, you know what's interesting? But of course, they're only working 4 hours, so you can have an unemployment rate at 11%.
I understand.
Unlike
how do they know? What's the difference between the unemployment rate and the people that are only working for 4 hours a day? There's not that much difference. I'm unemployed. I don't work at all. This other guy has got a job. He works 4 hours. This is not a big thing. The difference between 0 hours and 4 hours, it's something, but it isn't much.
I'm moving to France.
I wouldn't.
I'm moving to France now.
You'd be better off moving to the Ukraine. Ukraine will be a healthier place to live in another year or two than France is. France is going to self-destruct, and it's going to be a mess.
Yes.
And it's what happens when people are dumb enough. You know, they talk about democracy, and they say democracy will work. I don't remember who made the comment, but he said democracy will work just fine. And it might have been de Tocqueville. I can't recall. But democracy will work just fine until the people find out that they can vote themselves benefits out of their government treasury. And once they find out that all they have to do is vote for more free lunches, they get more and more free lunches until the whole place collapses. France, they really have embraced the spirit of democracy. They have voted themselves so many free lunches. How are they going to pay for them? How are they going to produce them? They don't even work enough to produce their free lunches. They need somebody. Will the United States give us some money so we can have more free lunches? Will the European Central Bank give us more free money so we can have more free lunches? These people are nuts. They're crazy. And they're going to pay a price for it, as will we. Huh? French are worse than we are, probably. They're crazier than we are. But we believe in money that has no intrinsic value. We don't understand that you need to have something that has intrinsic value to back your currency. And if you don't, your currency is a lie. And based on that lie, you will have no end of trouble build up in your society, in your government, in international relations. You know, we wouldn't. How many people died in Iraq because we invaded for weapons of mass destruction, which weren't there? A couple hundred thousand people died in Iraq because we wanted to protect the lie of the fiat dollar, the petrodollar, the world reserve currency, in order to protect that lie. Huh? We invaded and killed a couple hundred thousand people in Iraq. And God knows how many other people have died to maintain that lie. From my perspective, I'm going to be pleased to see the United States dollar collapse. And not because I think I'll do well. I think it'll be a terrible situation. I think it's going to hurt a lot of people, including me. But there is so much wickedness and evil that has come out of that damnable lie that it needs to die. Get rid of it. And whatever price has to be paid, let's pay it and let's find an honest currency. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that says Satan is the father of all lies. Well, then he should be the father of fiat currency. We're trading around as if the piece of paper is money. It's not. It's only currency. It's a debt instrument rather than an asset. And that's what you folks are working for. You go to work and you get paid debt instruments. And virtually nobody gets what I'm talking about right now. Very few people in the country, in the economy, they understand the significance of a phony debt-based monetary system. But this is the system that put us in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is the system that made Vietnam possible. This is the system that allows government to grow to gargantuan size. This is the system that allows police officers to kill people and just say, oh, I was afraid, and the courts turn them loose. You can trace it all back to a fiat monetary system. And I'm sure that a lot of people say, oh, that's crazy talk. Yeah, well, you watch. You'll see. You may not see and understand just yet, but you give it a couple of years, and you will begin to see, oh, my gosh. Maybe this trouble does flow from that fiat monetary system. We're not as crazy as the French, but we're pretty close.
And that's where it all started, Al. We've been saying that for a very long time. And you just, all of these problems all stem back to our fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we have, everything that we don't have, comes back to the fiat currency. And these are just all little problems, all little symptoms, all created out of that. And, you know, and that's why it's so important to have gold. But you're right, they don't understand, or they'd be dumping their dollars, their paper investments and their assets, and they'd be running to gold.
Yep.
And that's gold exactly would right. be a lot higher.
I don't care if gold goes higher. I've said before, if gold falls to $1,000 an ounce,
it's
not going to bother me. All that means is more for me.
Yeah, it's all relative.
It's going to come to an end. I just can't tell you when. It could happen at any moment. They might be able to string it out for a couple more years. I can't see how they can do this for 3 years. I can't imagine it, but I got to give them the kudos. It's not impossible. But I guarantee you, it's not impossible, and a lot of people think it's going to happen this year. We are going to see a significant change this year. People, intelligent people, Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, he's predicting this is going to be the year the stuff hits the fan. John Williams at ShadowStats.com, he's predicting 2014 is the year when the stuff hits the fan. I don't remember who we were talking to the other day. George Soros. Not George Soros.
Greg Hunter.
Gloom, doom, and boom. I keep
Mark Faber.
Yeah, Faber. He thinks within 12 months. All right, so he's not necessarily seeing this year, but probably this year, and no later than end of the first quarter next year. Right, he's given it 12 months. We're sitting on the edge of this problem, folks, or at least a lot of intelligent people think we may be. No one can tell us for an absolute fact what's going to happen. But you can just see it ratchet up and ratchet up and ratchet up, and the tension just continues to build and build and build, and you sit here and we speculate. How long can this particular structure withstand the rising tensions before we see a sudden snap, a catastrophic failure, and bang, this particular piece of infrastructure just fragments, explodes, disintegrates? And what happens then? What do you think happens then? And I don't care how you look at this, how long you think this fiat currency is going to last, none of them last forever. All of them eventually self-destruct. And generally speaking, in a time frame similar to where we are relative to the fiat dollar. What are you going to do, folks, when this happens? And it's going to. I can't tell you it's going to happen this year. I don't know. Could. But it's going to happen. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when your bank account doesn't work and your MasterCard doesn't work and your Visa doesn't work and your pension fund is dead and Social Security has forgotten your name? What are you going to do? And all of this is potentially possible at virtually any moment. You know, we're going to get to this. We'll talk about this in the next section. But the government has purchased over 2 billion bullets in the last year or two. Domestic agencies, Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, a bunch of the post office is in the news. We'll talk about this when we start the next segment of the program. What do you think that indicates? It has to mean they're getting ready for a fight with the American people. And when you look at it and you say, you know, I think that means they're getting ready. They think there might be a violent conflict between the government and the American people. Now, why would there be a violent conflict between the government and the American people? Would it be because government taxes are too high? Think that'll move people's shoot? I don't. What about government taking too many of our liberties? Will that cause people to shoot? I don't think so. What'll get people to shoot is if all of a sudden their MasterCard doesn't work. That's what'll put them on the streets. That's what will make us riot. That is what will make people attack the government. I'm talking about an economic collapse, and we'll talk more about that. In the next segment, we're going to take a break for some commercial announcements first, and Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, who owns, yes, operates, and sells coins from Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And if you're looking for any coins, Melody is the lady to call. What's next, Melody?
We've got some great prices in our Silver Eagles and all our products. And, Al, what upsets me so much, it's probably 9 out of 10 clients that I speak with. When they do a comparison, their comparisons are never apples to apples or oranges to oranges. They're always different. They never get the right price. You go to these online websites and you try to get pricing on a product. They're very confusing on the various dates of the product, the condition of the product, the quality of the product. And so, folks, if you're doing any types of comparisons, I do them all the time, and my prices rarely are higher. So give me a call. If you think you found such a great deal, give me a call, and I'll show you how it is probably wrong. And always make sure that you're doing an apples-to-apples comparison. Just give us a call and visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. But those online websites, Al, are very confusing for most folks that don't really understand what they're looking for. They think an ounce of silver is an ounce of silver no matter what it is. And that's how you get caught.
Well, that's how you wind up overpaying, and you're better off to pay a fair price, a low fair price, as long as you're getting good service and you've got reliable infrastructure at the business you're talking to. They've been around for a while. They're established. You can trust them.
All of our trades again this month. We started this last week, Silver Eagle, with every trade that you do here for this month. And what's next, Al?
Well, we're talking about the government's purchase of bullets. Okay. And here's an article. The headline is Going Postal. USPS stocks up on guns and ammo. There's a headline. Going Postal just took on a whole new meaning. The U.S. Postal Service is joining other alphabet government federal agencies in stocking up on ammunition and firearms. It's an alarming trend that has stretched, that has swept over the nation in the last several years. Conspiracy theories abound over the stockpiling of some 2 billion rounds of ammunition to date. 2 billion rounds translates into about 7 rounds for every man, woman, and child in this country. You understand that? We're not talking about the military stockpiling rounds in case they have to go to war, go back to war in Iran or someplace like that, or Syria, the Ukraine. No, no, no. They got money. We're talking about domestic American agencies, the federal government, that are stocking up 2 billion rounds of ammunition in anticipation of what? There's the problem. And we sit back and they won't tell us. They say, well, it's for target practice. It's hollow point ammunition, which, if I understand correctly, is outlawed by different international treaties for being used on people. But nevertheless, they're not buying ammunition that is used for target practice. They are buying ammunition intended to kill. We're seeing according to Alan Gottlieb, chairman of the Washington-based Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, said we're seeing a highly unusual amount of ammunition being bought by the federal agencies over a fairly short period of time. To be honest, I don't understand why the federal government is buying so much at this time. And that's what this is ultimately all about. What is the why? And the why has to be they're anticipating some sort of a violent clash with the American people. Now, whether they expect that violent clash will be initiated by the people against the government or will be initiated by the government against the people is unknown to me. I don't know, but they anticipate a violent clash. And that is the apparent rationale behind this. They haven't said so. We don't know. But listen, if your neighbor is buying, you see him buying 100 shotguns and 50 machine guns and some cannons and a bunch of hand grenades and whatever, and he's got a bunch of them pointed in your direction. It's not unreasonable to suppose that maybe this guy is mad at you. Maybe he thinks there's going to be a fight. Maybe he either wants to attack you or maybe he's concerned that you're going to find out that he's been doing something that he knows will make you angry. But you have to be a little bit suspicious and move to the point of self-preservation when you see someone else stacking up 2 billion rounds of ammunition. Social Security put in a request for 170,000 rounds. 357 SIG 125 grain bonded jacketed hollow point bullets. Department of Agriculture wanted 320,000 rounds. Department of Homeland Security ordered 450 million rounds. At the same time, the FBI purchased 100 million rounds. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration requested 46,000 rounds. What exactly does the Weather Service need with all that ammunition? These are weathermen, for God's sake. You know, I mean, I'm looking at this, and we can say this is an interesting political indicator, an interesting political anomaly. But I look at it, and I also see it as an economic indicator. Why does government need all those bullets? And as we talked a little bit in the first half or the first segment of the program, I said governments, they're clearly stocking up on bullets for one of three reasons. One, to subsidize the ammunition industry. The government will buy 2 billion rounds of ammunition, much like the government subsidizes big pharma by buying pharmaceutical industries, by buying drugs or passing laws that mandate that we buy drugs. But does anyone really believe the government wants to subsidize the ammunition industry? And the answer, of course, is no. The second possibility is to reduce the supply of bullets so the public can't buy them. As most of you know, if you followed this at all, you know, the government's buying guns and bullets, so are the American people. Right? Both sides are stocking up. They're stockpiling guns. They're stockpiling ammunition. It may be that the government said, in order to prevent the public from getting the bullets, the government will buy them. Therefore, Joe Sixpack won't have any bullets, or at least not very many, for his AR-15. That's a possibility. That's a second possibility for why government is buying these reasons, buying these bullets. And the third reason is to stock up on bullets to be used to attack or defend against attacks by the American people. These bullets are not to defend against an invasion from Red China or from Russia or someplace. There's no way of looking at this and justifying this, that you cannot, that you can dismiss the idea the government is preparing to go to some sort of a war, violent conflict with the American people. And so once you see that and you think, well, that's at least a possible explanation. We don't know what the truth of the matter is, but it certainly looks probable that the government is anticipating a violent confrontation with the American people. Why might such confrontation take place? Is the government afraid that we're going to start shooting? The American people are going to start shooting because congressmen are corrupt? Nah. We just laugh about government corruption. Okay, will Americans start shooting because taxes are too high? No, not particularly. There's at least 60 million people who don't even file income tax right now. Taxes can be evaded if you want to evade taxes. It's not a big deal. Nobody's going to shoot over taxes because our liberty has been lost. How about that? We talk about it. Oh, my gosh, we're losing our liberty. Nobody's going to shoot over that, or not many. That's not enough. But what about because the economy has collapsed? Will that make people angry enough to shoot? If people are starving, if they're out of work, if they blame the government for mismanaging the economy, if they are rioting in the streets, would that be enough to cause people to shoot and or government to shoot? And in my opinion, the answer is yes. My point is that Americans don't care about corruption, taxes, or liberty. They care about their money. If there's going to be a violent confrontation between government and the people, that confrontation will be based on some sort of sudden and significant economic decline. And therefore, I look at the purchase of 2 billion bullets of by government. I see that as an economic indicator. I don't see it simply as a political statement, an anomaly, an oddity. I see it as an economic indicator. I see it as evidence that the government thinks something serious and adverse is going to take place in the American economy, and not so long from now. And when it does, the government is at least afraid that the result may be violent confrontation between the American people and the government. And the government is preparing for that possibility. Now, we're not here to argue that you should go out and start shooting people. That's not my point. That is not my point. My point is that the mere purchase of 2 billion rounds of ammunition by the government for domestic consumption, if you'll excuse the phrase, it's not just a political anomaly. It's not just some sort of oddity that takes place in government. It may very well be a profound economic indicator. The government is expecting. And if that's correct, that's a hypothesis. I'm not telling you, not giving you prophecy. It's a hypothesis. It's a theory. But if it's correct, it's evidence that the government is anticipating a serious and sudden economic decline. And they suspect that it may be so bad, not saying it will be, but they're suspecting that it might be so bad that we could see this country degenerate into some sort of significant civil unrest that was not merely people hollering and stamping their feet, might involve gunfire. That's the way I look at it. I can't tell you again that it's God's truth, but it seems reasonable to me. It seems plausible to me. And if you were inclined to agree with that analysis, if it made some sense to you, then if the government is preparing for that kind of problem, why not you and me? Doesn't make sense. I mean, we've even heard reports of government purchasing whole factories full of dehydrated food, survival foods. They're storing up. They want to make sure they get fed. They want to keep the government fed. What are you doing to keep yourselves fed? What are you doing to protect yourselves in the event of this kind of calamity? Government is preparing for big trouble. And based on that, it's not unreasonable that you and I do the same. What do you think, Melody?
Absolutely. You know, when you're talking about an economic indicator, I was kind of thinking about which of the people would be the most likely impacted. And I really don't believe those that have reason to do become involved in a situation are those that are going to be losing their retirement accounts. It's going to be those who no longer get the checks.
Yeah, welfare recipients.
Yes, and I have some numbers on that today, but while we're in this gun issue, Michael Bloomberg today came out to, and he plans on spending $50 million to build a gun control network to fight the NRA. He plans to spend $50 million this year on a new group that will mix campaign contributions with field operations aimed at pulling 1 million gun control supporters to the polls, adding a new dimension to his long-running fight for tighter firearms regulation. The new organization, Every Town for Gun Safety, plans to mobilize voters to back candidates and ballot measures supporting such causes as enhancing background checks for gun buyers, according to a news release. The group also plans to issue candidate questionnaires and scorecards and form a political action committee. This new organization will bring more people into the fight against gun violence, which affects every town in America, he said in a statement. The group will look closely at 15 states, including pro-gun states such as Texas and other states where gun control initiatives have advanced. He was also interviewed today, and he thinks that he's going to heaven. He says, if anybody deserves to be there, and this is not a direct quote, he doesn't even want to stand in line. He doesn't even want to be interviewed for judgment. He thinks all his good works will land him first of the line and right on in. And the big question, he says, if there is a God. So,
well, what an idiot. Mm-hmm. What a moron. I mean, he's going to waste $50 million on trying to get guns out of the hands of the people in this country. I want to see however much he's going to waste, he's going to spend in Texas will be wasted. He would be better off to throw a big barbecue and invite the whole state of Texas. But you're not going to disarm this state. I've told this story on the program before, but I know a woman here in Dallas moved down here. She's lived in Chicago and lived in New York before she moved to Texas. And she learned in Chicago in particular that when she was driving, she had to hide her purse. She put it under the foot. She couldn't just leave it on the seat next to her on the car because people just bust the window, reach in, grab the purse. Right? She was constantly in a state of concern about being robbed by people. And then she moved down here to Texas and she was here a few years and she realized she didn't have to be concerned. Nobody's kicking in anybody's window to steal their purses. Doesn't happen down here to any significant degree. Why? Because we have firearms. You put a fist through somebody's window, and they're going to put a bullet through your head. She's safe down here. She enjoys a feeling of safety, and she was a liberal back in New York and in Chicago. And now she realizes, oh, my gosh. The guns are keeping me safe. I can drive around, leave my purse on the seat next to me. People who want you disarmed because the government wants to push you around more so than they already do. It's not about your safety. It's about the government's safety. Don't give up your firearms. I'm Alfred Addis. This is a Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we're talking about those that will have the most problems. And again, it's not those that, get up and go to work and have pensions and so forth. They're going to lose a great deal. And we had a client write in. He says the fiat currency is the root of all evil. And when the end comes, the canary in the coal mine will be the failure of credit and debit cards to satisfy the great unwashed. We are certainly headed for a disaster. Your caution should be heeded by many, but it's unlikely. He says, keep up the great work. And very deep on this article was written by a Terrence Jeffrey. And he says, on the website of the U.S. Census Bureau is a number every American citizen, and especially those entrusted with public office, should know. It's 86,429,000. He says, that's the number of Americans who in 2012 got up every morning, went to work in the private sector, and did it week after week. And then he breaks it down to the various numbers. He says there's approximately 103 million that work, but you pull out the government workers and so forth, and you end up with the 86 million. Then he goes on and he talks about those that get a check. He estimates the size of the benefit-receiving population. That is 147 million non-veteran benefit takers, outnumbering the 86 million full-time private sectors, 1.7 to 1. And he says, and how much more can the 86 endure?
Yeah.
As more baby boomers retire and as Obamacare comes fully online with its expanded Medicaid rolls and federally subsidized health insurance for anyone earning less than 400% of the poverty level, the number of takers will inevitably expand. And the number of full-time private sector workers might also contract. He says eventually there will be too few carrying too many, and America will break.
Yeah, I agree with him 100%. I agree,
yes,
with that article. And when we talk about 86 million who are working, and we have a population of 317 million right now, which translates into, I don't know, 240 million aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
86? No, it's not. 230 million ballpark figure that aren't working out of 300 million.
And divide the dead and by that 86. Bigger number, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I know. The whole thing is becoming irrational to the point it just can't continue. It cannot continue, and it doesn't mean that it can't continue until tomorrow or a month from now or a year from now, but it can't continue indefinitely. We are going to see a collapse, and there's no one in government that's doing anything about it. Can you point to a political party that's going to do anything meaningful about this? Our doom is sealed is what it comes down to. I hate to say that, but that's what it comes down to. And if you don't want your doom sealed, then it's up to you to do something to prepare for it. If you're among the 86 million that are working and making a productive contribution to society, you're the ones that are feeding this country. I guarantee the country's going to feed on you like a cannibal or like a mass of cannibals. It's going to be like one of those zombie movies, and they're going to want whatever you've got. If you want to avoid being consumed by the parasites and the predators, you're going to have to figure out a way to protect yourself. Because guaranteed government won't.
You know, Al, I can't remember. I watch CNBC and I watch the news, and you know, it's interesting to see what they say and blah, blah, blah. I haven't heard a conversation, a debate, even a reference to our economy, to our deficits. You know, the only one who ever questioned the Federal Reserve was Ron Paul. And you just don't hear anybody talking since he left.
Yeah.
Our problems, like, don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And our problems are being ignored. Because the only primary focus that is of any concern is Wall Street.
And why is that the primary focus?
Because that is where the money comes from for the continued destruction of this country.
It's where the money comes from. If I understand correctly, Wall Street is the biggest single entity in terms of giving political campaign contributions to congressmen, senators, and presidential candidates. That's why. All right? Because your congressman, your senator, your president, your vice president, they're all a bunch of treasonous whores who are for sale to the highest bidder.
Well,
if you got the money, they got the time. They are for sale, and they will do anything or virtually anything, and it doesn't matter if it destroys the country or it helps the country. Their only concern is can they get more money so they can get reelected, so they can get more money, so they can get reelected, so they can get more money, so they can get reelected. You can't name a congressman who's up there right now who's seriously working for the American people's best interest. Oh, you might be able to name a couple of them. You could talk about Rand Paul, maybe. You can name a couple others, Ted Cruz, that his name will come up. But the truth is they're all working in a whorehouse. And you can't sit back and say we've got ministers and preachers and honorable men who just happen to be working in a whorehouse. They're not doing anything to change it. They're not doing anything to change the system. And it's, you know, just another one of those leaves in the breeze. When the stuff hits the fan, no rational person is going to be able to sit back and say, well, golly, this is so unfair. This is so unjust. Why did this ever happen to all of us wonderful people? The truth is we have betrayed our own obligations to keep these crooks in line. They've betrayed their obligations that they swore on oath to support, defend the Constitution. We have a name. You know, I think it was Benjamin Franklin. Might have been Franklin. I don't recall clearly. But he said we have a system of government that they'd created with the Constitution. And it's fit only for moral people. Totally unfit for anyone else. It means you have to have the good sense and the integrity to understand that you are not entitled to a free lunch. And when anyone comes up and says, oh, I got something for you for nothing, ha, 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 what does that necessarily mean? It means some other poor sap who's not even going to get to eat the free lunch, he's going to get stuck with the bill. He won't share in the free lunch, but the government or whoever it is that offers you the free lunch is saying, we'll get this other sap. You and I can eat for free, and this other sap will have to pay. Pretty funny, huh? If you go for it, you're a crook. You're immoral. You're unethical. And when the stuff hits the fan, you're going to take it big time right in the neck. And when you say, this is wrong, I was the good person, I will say, you lie, you lie, you lie. We have, as a nation, to go back to being independent and self-sufficient. We cannot live in a way where we take and take from other people. And if that means you have to live in a hut, live in a hut. But if you think you're entitled, you're a fool. You aren't entitled to one dime that you haven't earned yourself. None of us are. And this whole entitlement mentality, it's going to kill this country. And something great, glorious, and noble, if that happens, something great, glorious, and noble will have been lost. And it'll be lost while people were looking for a bigger, better free lunch. Well, that was all right. Was that good for you, Melody?
That was good for me.
All right.
Was that good for you?
Yeah, pretty good.
Glad I quit smoking.
Yeah.
Futures of countries. You know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. About
yep.
Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned briefly the Venice. We mentioned briefly Spain, how they're splitting up.
Falklands, Scotland. There are countries around the world that are seeking to become independent. They have previously been part of another country. There are small countries that are trying to maintain their independence. There are large areas like the Crimea, for example, and others that want to restore their independence. And why do they want to do it? This is an article from ZeroHedge.com that's really pretty intelligent. Let me see if I can. He points out it's been the norm. We tend to forget that although the world map has looked more or less the same since the end of World War II, it has been the norm throughout history for large parcels of property to change hands fairly often. Boundaries move. Countries become larger, smaller, or disappear altogether. Large empires are created, swallowing up smaller countries, sometimes lasting for 200 years or more, then inexorably breaking up into smaller remnants. It talks about Venice, Scotland, Spain, Falklands being involved in this. He says, in much of the world, small countries are hoping to retain their independence, whilst portions of larger countries are trying to establish their independence. And understandably, they're meeting with resistance, as it's usually the areas that are net contributors to the larger economy that seek independence. In other words, if you live in a country that is paying a lot of taxes, you live in a state that pays a lot of taxes to support the rest of the country and gets little in return. You don't want to play that game. Why should we work ourselves to death to support some people that are too lazy or stupid to get a job in another state, another dozen states? Why should we do that? Insofar as we are called on to support the incompetence, the fools, the rest of it, and mandated to do so by government, why not break loose? This is evident even in the United States, where those states that are net contributors, in other words, producers, they actually have people who work for a living, are experiencing the same frustration as Venetians and are making noises about secession. Not surprisingly, net recipient states, and by that he means those states that get more coming back to them from government, from the federal government, then they kick in. They don't want to bust loose. They don't want to secede. They're on the gravy train. They're getting something for nothing. They're getting the free lunch. Well, the point is that the producers have had just about enough. And they're tired of carrying all the lazy bums who don't have, can't find, won't work. Can't find jobs, it won't work. I understand the times are difficult, but the people that are out of work need to understand that the reason they're out of work is because the people they rely on for handouts are the people that have been selling their jobs to China. The government moved your job to China, and they're the ones that you support now because they give you a free lunch, give you a food stamp, they give you some welfare. The whole thing is a terrible, terrible mess. It's easy to point fingers for anyone, including me. But it's something that we're wrong. As a nation, we are wrong. We were wrong to move our jobs to China. We are wrong to allow illegal aliens to come into this country. We are wrong to provide people with welfare where they can live better on welfare than they can with taking a job. In some instances, it's wrong. And we can't just do it because it feels good. We can't just keep on, here, vote for me and I'll get you something for nothing. We have to start voting for candidates because they won't give us something for nothing. But what they'll do is protect whatever it is that we've earned and prevent the government from taking what we've earned. I don't need somebody to support me, but I do need someone to get the government off my back. And this nation is, whether they know it or not, people of this nation are in the same condition, same state of affairs. Government is not your savior. The government is not the solution to our problems. The government is the cause. And as long as that perception is, you know, most people don't get it, well, then we're just going to stay headed on the road to trouble. But some people do get it, and they get it in states and nations that are net producers, and they're tired of carrying the idiots. I'm not against charity. I'm not against helping people. And I recognize that even the morons, the idiots, and the incompetents deserve some assistance, but they don't have an entitlement. You and I may be obligated to help the poor, but we are not obligated to give our money to the government, who keeps most of it and then gives some of it to the poor. Keep the government out of the loop. They get poor people in your community. Do what you can to help them. Right? And do what you can to help them. But don't rely on government to be their savior, and don't allow government to become your master in determining that you must cough up, if you're in that 86 million that still work for a living, you must pay so that the other 220 million or whatever have something to eat.
147.
Whatever. You know? The whole thing is just wrong, wrong, wrong. And none of us are right on this situation, and we have to become right. We've got to get back to it and do what's right rather than what feels good. And if we can do that, we can restore this nation. But what do you think the chances are that you are going to persuade the majority of the people that are depending on government and relying on government, not just depending on government because they're in trouble, they are incompetent, they're weak, they're broken. No, no. They're depending on government because they think it's a great racket. You think they're going to give up that racket, that free ride? They won't. You have to learn how to protect yourself, because if you don't, the parasites, the predators are going to leave you starving and naked in the cold. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord. Bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.